Hallelujah. Grab your swords and open them up. And we are going to Micah. Micah chapter 2. Praise God. Micah chapter 2. I want to welcome you today in the park. Ministry in the park. Praise God. Micah chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Is everybody there? Let's speak it together. It says, woe. When you hear woe, that means duck. Because something's coming at you. Woe to those who devise iniquity and work out evil on their beds. At morning light, they practice it. Everyone say practice it. Because it is in the power of their hand. They covet fields, take them by violence, also houses, and seize them. So they oppress a man and his house, a man and his inheritance. This is very powerful. One of the things that the powers of darkness are always trying to do is to steal, kill, and destroy. Amen? It says that these individuals practice evil because it is in the power of their hand. In other words, they have the choice. Everybody has a choice of what they practice. Amen? And in this, he says, they covet fields and take them by violence and also houses. It sounds like our government. And seize and oppress people. You know, you think about that when government is actually there to protect us, but yet they allow disaster to come because of their ignorant decisions. Amen? Because their decisions are according to the influence of darkness, not according to the influence of God. Because if they were according to the influence of God, we wouldn't be in the condition we are now in this country. Amen? But because of the influence of evil, we are in this condition right now. But still, we have a choice of what we practice. Amen? Is everybody okay? Go to Matthew 7. Matthew 7, verse 20. Everybody there? Let's speak it. Therefore, by their fruits you will what? You will know them. You'll know them by their fruits. Now, some people might not understand what a fruit is. If you go to a tree and you look at its fruit, you'll know what kind of tree it is. Well, in the spirit realm, a tree is a spirit. And the fruit is what its character is, what it's producing. So if it produces something evil, you know it's an evil spirit. Amen? In other words, what you're being influenced by is going to produce fruit, either that's pleasing to God or displeasing to God. So we're going to look at the fruits of individuals. We're going to listen to the fruit of the voice that speak to us. We're going to look at fruits of things that are projects and things to that degree. And we're going to determine whether it's of God or not of God by whether it promotes God and his character, righteousness, or it promotes wickedness and lust. Amen? Or self. Praise God. Let's go to the next one. In verse 21, he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the what? Will of my Father in heaven. So, if you're a believer but choosing to do your own will, are you going home? No, only those who do the will of God. It's real simple. Let's go on. He said in verse 22, I'm sorry. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not what? Prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name. Wow. So these were individuals that were using the gifts of the Spirit. So they were Spirit-filled, weren't they? They were Spirit-filled, yet they chose to do their own thing instead of the will of God. See, so many people justify themselves on how many Bible studies they go to, how much they tithe, how many times they go to church. But still behind closed doors, they're practicing lawlessness. They're still doing what they want to do, not what God wants them to do. Everyone say, God's timing is God's will. If it's not God's time, it's not God's will. In verse 23, then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Whoa, but yet they used his name, didn't they? I never knew you. Depart from me, you who what? Practice lawlessness. Everyone say practice. So what you practice, now listen to this, what you practice is what you believe. What you practice is what you believe. And these people were practicing lawlessness. Now, they believed that God would heal, deliver, salvation, and everything else, didn't they? But yet, they were swaying in their belief system. Even though, listen, New Age uses God's promises. But there's always a little alteration in there. They use God's promises to promote self, not God. See, many people can use God's discipline, I mean, God's law, and prosper, but still go to hell. Amen. Let's go a little further. Matthew 13. So what you practice is what? What you believe. In verse 36, then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came to him, saying, explain to us the parable of the tares of the field. And he answered and said to them, he who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom. But the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age. And the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his what? His kingdom. Whoa. Out of what? His kingdom. Those are people who accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Hello? But are still practicing evil. He said he will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and those who what? Practice lawlessness. In other words, those whose belief system is not according to his. And I will cast them into the furnace of fire, and there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Wow. Then the righteous shall shine forth as the Son in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Whoa. That is very powerful. So we see that here's a law called sowing and reaping. Amen. Those who practice righteousness and those who practice unrighteousness. The ones that practice unrighteousness will be removed from the kingdom. In other words, again, what you practice is what you what? Believe. So if the belief system is flawed, your perception is flawed. Amen? Your perception of things is flawed and sometimes warped. In other words, your belief system is not correct. There's many people who have a strange belief system. Yet they believe in parts of the Bible, but they don't believe in it all. Amen? There's still people that don't believe in deliverance. They don't believe in casting out devils. There's people who don't believe they have a devil. Those are the ones that do. Because they got a spirit of unbelief. Hallelujah. People fight for their belief system, even when it is wrong in the eyes of God. That's why God said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. People justify by their belief system. They fight for their belief system. They justify by their belief system. And they judge others by their belief system. They murder for their belief system. They live by the belief system and die by the belief system. They associate with others that have the same belief system. Because what they believe, they practice. Amen? That's why there's so much division in the body of Christ. Because there's multiple belief systems. But there's only one Spirit. There's only one God. There's only one Father. There's only one Lord. But yet, there's a multitude of belief systems. 1 John chapter 4. Do I need to repeat that? Good. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Let's start at verse 1. Beloved, do not what? Believe every spirit. Why? Because what you believe is what you practice. But test the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Now listen, many false prophets have gone out. Do you know what a false prophet does? It speaks. And when it speaks into the system, into the spirit system, that voice continues. Does everybody hear me? That's why when a true prophet speaks, that's when a child of God speaks, those words don't go to the ground. They go into the spirit system. And they go to do what it's supposed to do. So when a false prophet speaks, he speaks curses. He speaks things. He speaks lies. That voice continues to go forth. And you know what's going after? Believers. See, people... The problem that we have, and again, not making what is unseen to become seen. We're too busy looking carnally instead of spiritually. We think that this is just somebody speaking and that's that. We're not seeing where it's going. And when we begin to see where it's going, we'll have more understanding. Our revelation, our perception will change because the belief system changes. And it stops putting limitations on us to see all the way through. Oh, glory. Verse 2. By this we know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. But I want you to understand something. Spirits lie. He's talking about a spirit of man. Now he's talking about individual spirits, spirits of the spirit realm. Those spirits will lie. Does everybody understand that? That's why you must walk in the gift of discerning of spirits to discern whether it's lying or not. Believe me, I've asked people that, do you believe Jesus Christ came in the flesh? Yeah. And I know they're lying. They don't. Why? Because you'll know them by the fruit. Does everybody understand that? You're going to know them by the fruit. Fruit is what determines everything. You'll know them by the fruit. So they may speak a truth, but they're not practicing the truth. And you know what? Eventually it will come to the surface. They may have a good word. They may have a form of godliness, but eventually they're exposed. nobody gets away. And verse 4. Let's read it together. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he is in you is greater than he is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Oh, that's very gentle. Because it's the spirit of truth or the lying spirit. It's not just a spirit of error. It is a lying spirit. Does everybody understand that? So in other words, he's saying what we are influenced by the spirit realm, whether it's a spirit of truth or a spirit of error or what we call a lie. So the world of truth, let me tell you about the world of truth. The world of truth, the carnal truth, we can see a truth right here, but we know that there's trees, these here are truth and whatever. We may call them facts. But the world of truth is the natural arena. Is everybody with me? But the world of truth is different than the eternal truth. Hello? Because the Bible says that the world is passing away, so the truths of the world are passing away, aren't they? So science has its place, but it's only temporary. Doctors have their place, but they're only temporary. Medication has its place, but it's only temporary. All of these things that are temporary. Because the things that you see are temporary, the things you don't see are eternal. Amen? So we may call them truths, but the world calls them truths. We call it a fact. Because the truth is what you don't see. Amen? So the world of truth is actually called a lie. It's deceptive, isn't it? And it's a spirit. But the spirit of the truth, which is of God, is known as truth. Does everybody got it? So the spirit from God is truth. The spirit from the world is a what? Lie. So we must be discerning to determine by the fruit what we're being influenced on. Because what you're being influenced on is going to establish a belief system which is going to cause an individual to practice what they believe. And you'll know them by the fruit, whether it's righteous or unrighteous. Is everybody okay? 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. So, glory to God. What is truth is what is real. And I'm talking about the spirit realm. What is truth is real. Has everybody got it? So there must be a reality check in the area where are we associating with what is real or what is a lie. Amen? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 2, it says, well, let's start at verse 1. For you yourselves know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain, but even after we had suffered before and were spitefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much what? Conflict. Is the gospel of God truth? Yes. Was there conflict? Yes. For our exhortation did not come from what? Error or a lie. Or uncleanness. Nor was it what? Deceit. But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak not as pleasing men, but God who tests our heart. Ooh. For neither at any time did we use flattering words, as you know, nor cloak for covetousness. God is witness. In other words, he speaks again. He says three things. So these three areas are of the world. Remember we just spoke about the spirit of error? It's called a lying spirit. He said, error, uncleanliness, and deceit. In other words, he said, we did not come to you. Our exhortation was not in the area of the world. Our exhortation was of the Lord. Because he said the world's exhortation was associated with error, uncleanliness, and deceit. Amen? Has everybody got this? Which is associated with the world. But in the gospel of God, which is truth, he said we are pleasers of God, not of men. Again, what you believe, you what? You practice. And what you don't believe, you reject. Does everybody got it? What you believe, you practice. What you don't believe, you reject. Now, if what you believe, you practice, is wrong in the eyes of God. Now grab hold of this. If what you believe and you practice is wrong in the eyes of God, it is called deception. It's called what? Deception. And what you reject that is right in the eyes of God is called rebellion. I'm going to say this again. What you reject, what you practice, if it's wrong in the eyes of God, is called deception, right? If you practice it, it's called deception. Amen? And what you reject in the eyes of God is called what? Rebellion, which is right in the eyes. In other words, if you're practicing something that is not right in the eyes of God, it's called deception. What you practice, or what you, hallelujah. What you reject that is right in the eyes of God is called rebellion. So, what you practice is what you believe, isn't it? Again, I'm going to say this so we can get this right. If what you're hearing is of God, you're going to practice it, and it's going to produce righteousness. If your hearing is not of God, it's going to produce unrighteousness. So what you're hearing is of God, and you refuse it or you reject it, it's called rebellion. Amen? But if what you're hearing that's of the devil, are you listening, and reject it, it's called righteousness. Come on, are you listening? So if you're hearing something from the devil and you practice it, it's called unrighteousness. But all of these areas you will know by the fruit, won't you? Is everybody with me? Good. But there is only one eternal truth, isn't there? There's only one eternal truth, and it's a person. And what he speaks, and what he says, and what he requires is truth. Has everybody got it? What he speaks, what he says, what he requires is truth. In other words, you may think, well, what's the difference between speaking and saying? Speaking are the things associated with what's written. Does everybody count? Okay. In other words, when he spoke things in past, they're associated with written. What he's saying right now is associated with present. Is everybody okay? And what he requires is truth. Everything else is a lie. Everything else is a lie. Why? Because it's temporary. Now, truth is from the throne of God. A lie is from the throne of Satan. What you practice when you die is where you go. So, if your belief system, what you're listening to, what you believe, if your belief system is flawed, what it does is it produces flawed perception of things, correct? So, if my belief system causes me to practice, right? What causes me to practice is called discipline. Has everybody got it? So if I'm practicing something because I believe it, I'm going to discipline myself to do it. Does everybody got it? Now, this is where we need to have a reality check. And there is a discipline that is associated with eternal and a discipline which is associated with temporary. So everybody got this? And I want to call this discipline's reality. Discipline's reality. Why? Because reality is associated with the things unseen, associated with eternal truths. So what is truly real is eternal. What is temporary is not real. It's only temporary. So if my belief system, I believe something, I practice it, I discipline myself to it. So everybody got it? I believe it, I practice it, I discipline myself to it. I believe it, I practice it, I discipline myself to it. Do you know that we discipline ourselves to ungodly things and don't even know it? Because we believe it's just a part of life. Is everybody okay? But there is discipline of reality. The disciplines of reality. Why? Because to be disciplined, discipline's reality is associated with disciplining yourself to the things that are eternal. And if you're disciplining yourself to the things that are eternal, you will maintain eternal life. Too many times we're just looking at it as discipline in the natural realm to get something. But there's disciplines of reality that is bringing you through all the way home. Has everybody got it? And there's more to that. Oh, hallelujah. It's okay? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Disciplines of reality. Don't lose me. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Hallelujah. Verse 23. Paul said, now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker of it with you. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. Does that mean you have to be disciplined? Amen. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. In other words, we are disciplining ourselves for the things of reality, for eternal, for a unperishable crown. But in the world, people discipline themselves for a perishable. You know how many people discipline themselves? They're disciplined. Every morning they get up, they make their coffee, they go to work. That's discipline. But that's discipline for a perishable crown. Has everybody got it? Why? Because most people in the world don't discipline to get up and pray. There's a there's a discipline that is associated with reality. And there's a discipline that's associated with deception. Because if it isn't real, it's deception. Amen? Is everybody okay? Praise God. Let's go a little further. 26. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. But I what? I discipline my body and bring it into what? Subjection. Lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. So I discipline myself. Why? Because what I practice is what I believe. And what I believe, I discipline myself to practice. Do I need to repeat that? I discipline myself. Why? Because what I practice is what I believe. And what I believe, I discipline myself to practice. What I practice is what I believe. What I believe, I discipline myself to practice. One leads to life, One leads to death. One leads to health. One leads to sickness. One leads to righteousness. One leads to unrighteousness. One leads to cleanliness. One leads to contamination. There is something that we will know in discipline. There is a fruit. Consistency is a fruit of discipline. If you are consistent, you are disciplined. Again, because what I practice, I believe. And what I believe, I discipline myself to practice. So the fruit of this will be consistency. If there's no consistency, there is no discipline. So you've got to look at yourself and examine yourself. Here's reality check. What am I more consistent in? The things that are temporary or the things that are eternal? Discipline's reality. Hebrews 3 and verse 12. This is a very powerful statement because he says, "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God." In other words, there's been a change of influence. Actually, there's been a lack of consistency, which has opened the door to another influence. Amen. "But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin," or the deceitfulness of the presence of evil, which influences us. "For we have become partakers of Christ." If what? "If we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end, while it is said, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts," as in what? Rebellion. Now rebellion is rejecting God's truth, isn't it? Rebellion is rejecting God's truth. And he says something. Again, here, unbelief, rejecting God's truth. So the fruit of unbelief is rebellion. Amen? And that means you're not willing to obey or follow or practice. And what you're practicing is discipline for the truth. So there's not consistency. There's no rest. Or there's a false rest. Amen? But he says, if we do these things, we are partakers of Christ. Right? We are partakers of Christ. Three things that we partake of then. And we don't want to lose these. The anointing. The inheritance. And the victory. Has everybody got it? Partakers of Christ. The three things we are partaking of is the anointing, inheritance, and victory. When we become under a flawed belief system, these things cause us to lose partaking of. Has everybody got it? Why? Because a flawed belief system promotes flawed perception. And what you believe is what you practice. The problem is we must check the fruit of everything on a daily basis, hourly basis, and sometimes by the minute. Is everybody okay? 1 John 3. First John chapter 3. So then you got to ask yourself, why am I not consistent? Because I'm not disciplined. Well, if I'm not disciplined, what's my belief system? Incorrect. Oh, glory. 1 John chapter 3, is everybody there? And verse 12. Or let me see. 1 John chapter 3. Let's see. Verse 9. Is everybody there? Oh, let's start at verse 7. Did you bring your Holy Ghost eraser? Good. Then we can start at verse 6. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Glory! So does abiding take discipline? Does it take consistency? So if you're abiding in him, you think your belief system will be changed? Oh. So you're going to practice through what you believe then, right? Will it produce righteousness? Is that a fruit? Oh. So if it produces rebellion, are you abiding? No. Oh. How about unforgiveness, bitterness, anger, hatred, jealousy, rage, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions? Wow, all the works of the flesh is associated with a belief system that promotes rebellion. All glory. So you don't want to be disciplined in those things, do you? Woohoo, verse 7. Verse 6, whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him, or forgot him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So he thinks do you think he wants to use you to destroy the works of the devil? Yeah. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he's been born of God. In this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. Why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brothers were righteous. And it's because his belief system was not the same. He believed he had a right to murder his brother. Do not marvel, brethren, if the world hates you. Uh-huh. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him. How does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in what? Truth. Proverbs 15. Discipline's reality. Why? Because it's discipline that leads to the eternal. Proverbs 15. In verse 9, glory. A man's heart, what? A man's heart says, turn the page, man. Get on Proverbs 15. Actually, I like that verse. I want to read this verse. Just listen. It says, what's it say? Oh, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Oh, hallelujah. So the Lord direct your steps here today, even though your heart, your mind was planning something else. You know why? You cooperated. You didn't listen to what your mind said, because your mind will lie to you. It's a liar from the beginning. It was born a liar. Proverbs 15. Is everybody there? Verse 9. The way of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but he loves him who follows righteousness. Uh-oh, are you ready? Verse 10, come on. Harsh discipline is for him who forsakes the way, and he who hates correction will die. Oh. Has God chasing you hard sometimes? And I was like, man, I'm telling you, I got chasing for 3 days for something. 3 long days. And you know what the chastening was? He removed his presence. Let me tell you, that taught me a lesson. Duck! Okay, let's go on. Verse 11. Come on. Let's read it. Hell and destruction are before the Lord. So how much more the hearts of the sons of men? A scoffer does not love one who corrects him, nor will he go to the wise. But a merry heart makes a cheerful countenance. But by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. Again, the Lord deals with us in harsh discipline to get us back in line. Amen. 1 Corinthians 11. Boy, we're touching something here. 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11. Is everybody there? Glory. Verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are what? Chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the what? With the world. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. Oh, hallelujah. Now, in this, again, he says, if we would judge ourselves, we wouldn't have to be chastened by the Lord. Amen. Go to Hebrews 12, and we'll close here. Before fire and lightning starts coming. We got a couple quick verses here. Come on. Well, maybe I better go to one other. Okay, Hebrews 12:4. Let's read it. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he loves. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers. Wait a minute. We're partakers of the chastening. Why? Because he wants us to be a partaker of Christ, which is the anointing, inheritance, and victory. So that our belief system stays strong. So we practice what the truth is. Amen? All glory. Furthermore, we have fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? Wow. Discipline's reality is the practice or the consistency of practicing spiritual truth. Discipline's reality is the consistency of practicing spiritual truth. Because reality is eternal. Amen? Go to Psalm 1. And we're going to close here. There are people more disciplined in the things that are temporary than they are eternal. Verse 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. So the counsel of the ungodly promotes flawed belief system. Nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, or the truth of God. And in his law he meditates day and night. In other words, he is consistent. He is disciplined to practice truth. He meditates on truth, not on lie. And in his law he meditates day and night. What will happen to him? He'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its what? Fruit, righteous fruit, in its season, whose leaf also will not wither, and whatever he does will what? Prosper. But the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in judgment or in the reward of the Lord, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall what? Perish. Disciplines reality. Praise be to God. Lift your hands to heaven and thank him for truth. Thank you for truth, Lord. Now we ask, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you'll expose us in the areas of what we are more disciplined on. Things pertaining to reality or things pertaining to temporary. We commit this to you and we repent for those things that we're more disciplined on according to temporary and not eternal. Help us, Father, empower us and loose us from the bonds of deception that promote false discipline. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Hallelujah.